This is Audible.
Dreamscape presents Hunt for the Skinwalker. Science confronts the unexplained at a remote ranch in Utah by Colm A. Kelleher, PhD, and George Knapp. Narrated by David Bendina. Preface. This audiobook is an account of a remarkable series of unexplained events that took place on a ranch in northeastern Utah and the unprecedented scientific study that followed. For 8 years, a team of highly trained scientists and others came face to face with a terrifying reality that, on superficial examination, appeared to break the laws of science, but that, in fact, was consistent with modern-day physics. At the ranch, scientists found a world where a great deal of activity was hidden from visible sight, but, as the researchers soon discovered, was detectable with state-of-the-art instrumentation. The family that lived there came to believe that the ranch was occupied by some kind of intelligence that appeared to control, as if on a whim, human perception, human thought, and human physical reality. The ranch in question lies well off the beaten path in a remote, rural corner of Utah, but is only about 150 miles from metropolitan, sophisticated Salt Lake City. The location is in the midst of a devout Mormon community and is contiguous with a Ute Native American reservation. Both communities have experienced unbelievable but well-documented phenomena in their midst for more than 50 years. In the case of the Ute tribe, the experiences are documented in the tribe's oral tradition stretching back over 15 generations. The account you are about to hear is true. I know because I directly participated in and witnessed several of these events myself. All of these incidents really happened. I, along with a small team of highly trained scientists and investigators, interviewed hundreds of eyewitnesses to these strange occurrences, including law enforcement officers, physicists, biologists, anthropologists, veterinarians, educators, and everyday citizens. In addition to eyewitness testimony, we obtained an intriguing body of physical evidence to support many of the accounts described in the audiobook. We compiled photos and videos and accumulated reports of demonstrable physical effects on people, animals, equipment, everyday objects, and the environment. Although observers might relegate the subject matter to the category of the paranormal, the research team adhered to the strictest scientific protocols throughout the project. Some of the names in the audiobook have been changed out of concern for the emotional well-being of the family that owned the ranch at the time, and for the sake of others who were involved. As listeners will discover, this family endured a painful and disturbing series of events that left deep psychological scars. The family has since moved from the ranch and is trying to put these events behind them. We also omitted the names of a physicist and a veterinarian out of concern that the strange subject matter they pursued at the ranch might interfere with their ability to obtain future employment. The scientific establishment does not look kindly upon professionals who stray too far from what are deemed legitimate areas of study. We also do not provide the exact location of the ranch itself. We are concerned that specific information about how to find it would encourage intrusions and trespassing by curiosity seekers and paranormal enthusiasts, which has already occurred to some extent. The ranch itself is still private property, and its caretakers do not welcome incursions by strangers. Neighbors in this rural area also do not appreciate knocks on their doors from out-of-towners seeking paranormal thrills and other strange experiences. That said, the reader will learn about the region, the towns near the ranch, and the geography of the ranch itself, including specific information about where various events occurred. An advisory board of esteemed scientific professionals oversaw this study of the ranch. This board was probably the most highly qualified team of mainstream scientists ever to engage in such a sustained study of anomalies. Board members insisted that established scientific principles and procedures be followed for the duration of the study. The problem is that we were forced to engage someone or something that refused to play by the rules of science. As a consequence, I realized that, despite my training in the minutiae of experimental protocols in immunology, biochemistry, and cell biology, we had to creatively modify the tried and true methods of establishing scientific experimental controls and of working under controlled laboratory conditions. We were obliged to conduct science in a weird, shadowy netherworld where textbook science was but a quaint memory. The account you are about to read is purely my own. It is not meant to represent the views of my employer at the time or of the other members of the research team. I believe that these strange, sometimes frightening, often bewildering events represent far more than a potpourri of unrelated and unfathomable weirdness. In the end, I suspect that this intense concentration of paranormal activity could point us all toward a new understanding of physical reality, something that is already being debated at the highest levels of modern science. The world, it appears, is much bigger, much stranger, and far more complicated than most of us can imagine. Colm Kelleher. A scientist, or a mainstream journalist who decides to give serious consideration to unidentified flying objects or other so-called paranormal topics, does so at considerable risk to his or her professional standing. I learned this the hard way. In my 25 years as an investigative reporter, TV anchorman, and newspaper columnist in one of the world's most dynamic cities, I've been fortunate to cover stories large and small. I've tangled with mafia figures, professional hitmen, casino moguls, crooked politicians, drug dealers, gun runners, car bombers, arsonists for hire, porn kings, outlaw motorcycle gangs, dirty cops, illegal polluters, animal abusers, bagmen, conmen, scam artists, pimps, perverts, and scumbags of every stripe. In my own community, I'm generally regarded as a serious journalist. I mention this not as a boast, but as a reference point. Even though I've written reams of stories about every imaginable topic, it seems likely that I will forever be known in my hometown as the UFO reporter. In the eyes of many of my journalism colleagues, this means I'm a borderline nutcase. I officially went crazy in 1989. That's when I produced a multi-part television news series about UFOs and a mysterious military base the world now knows as Area 51. The viewing public ate it up. But my fellow journalists were not pleased. For some reason, this serious coverage of a fringe topic drove them up the wall. I was pilloried and ridiculed from every quarter. Rival TV broadcasters snickered and lobbed snide pot shots during their happy talk segues. Radio DJs made crank calls and recorded song parodies. The Beatles' Fool on the Hill was transformed into Boob on the Tube. Newspapers were relentless in their criticism. Columnists teed off with predictable wisecracks about Bigfoot, Elvis, and the need for E.T. to phone home. A media critic wrote that he was rushing home each night to see my reports not because of his interest in UFOs, but so he could be there for the inevitable moment when I finally went bull goose loony on the air. One newspaper writer reacted to my reports about alleged alien abductions by anointing me as a high priest in the Church of Cosmic Proctology. The same editorial staff later opined that my interest in UFOs besmirched the reputations of other investigative journalists, so the staffers awarded me the dubious distinction of being the city's biggest blowhard, which in a town like Las Vegas is quite an accomplishment. I was the subject of three editorial cartoons in Nevada's largest newspaper, cartoons that were, I have to admit, pretty damn funny. One portrayed a portly likeness of me chasing a flying saucer while brandishing a butterfly net. Another featured alien assassins who had arrived on Earth aboard an interstellar barbecue grill for the purpose of rubbing me out. The subtitle of the cartoon was The Marshmallow Head Chronicles. I didn't have to guess whose head was considered to be soft and spongy. My general reaction at the time was that criticism of this sort comes with the territory. Whining about it would be pretty pathetic. A person can't be in the public eye and expect to get a free pass, especially from competitors. But the vehemence with which so many of my journalism colleagues attacked me was a surprise. After all, I was the same guy who had produced so many other stories. How did I morph into the crazy UFO reporter? The truly puzzling part was that none of these critics had even a basic familiarity with the large body of UFO evidence, studies, and documents. Their impression of the topic was, and is, based largely on a generic, ill-defined belief that people who are interested in flying saucers are delusional. Some are, of course, but the same could be said about many journalists. This impression has been reinforced over the years by the ridiculous tabloid accounts of space aliens who regularly visit the White House or the goofball claims of people who think they were born in another galaxy. In general, mainstream journalists have been reluctant to look beyond the exaggerated fictions of publicity seekers and profiteers in order to find out if there really is something going on. To do so would be to put their professional credibility on the line. I hope that those mainstream journalists who listen to this audiobook will suspend their disbelief at least temporarily, because the subject matter deserves serious inquiry, in my opinion. One of the best things to stem from my unanticipated status as the UFO guy was the opportunity to meet the remarkable Bob Bigelow and later members of the board of the National Institute for Discovery Science and its staff scientists, especially Colm Kelleher. Whatever sniping and peer pressure I encountered from journalism colleagues, it was negligible compared to the professional scorn and career consequences that loomed for Kelleher and the rest of the NIDS team. Real scientists simply do not participate in crackpot research projects. A reporter who uncorks a bizarre story or two can eventually be forgiven. A scientist who chases after UFOs or mutilated cattle risks everything. It shouldn't be like this, but it is. To me, it makes the NIDS study of the Utah ranch even more astounding. Although I was a mere observer to the events that unfolded, the courageous investigation by Bigelow, Kelleher, and the other NIDS team members has shaken me to the core. I will never look at the world in the same way. As listeners are about to learn, reality isn't what it used to be. George Knapp.